Hey folks, if you've been tuning in over the last couple of months, you've heard all about the Game Time app and how it can save you some serious cash on last minute tickets to sports, concerts, and all types of shows. I love the Game Time app. The double tap, the easy checkout, being able to see where you're sitting, it's truly tremendous. So, well, now the Game Time app is hooking you up for the holidays with $10 of credit. Here's what to do. Download the Game Time app in the Google Play or App Store. Click on the My Tickets section of the app. Create an account. And then under the billing section, redeem code THEATHLETIC. Once again, that's THEATHLETIC, all one word, for $10 off your first purchase. That's free money, people. And we all love free money. Credit is only available to the first 1,000 people who redeem the code. And it expires at the end of the year. That's December 31st, 2019, coming up quickly. So make moves quick and score last-minute tickets. Hello there, everyone, and welcome to Point Breakaway, the podcast about the Kings, Ducks, and anything else that comes to mind. And today, holiday cheer and the Montreal Canadiens to a degree. I'm joined by the one and only Shane O'Brien, who has been traveling all day to get home for Christmas. Shane, how you doing?
What's going on, Coop? Doing well, buddy. It was a long day. I got delayed in New York and back in Port Hope now, hanging out with my nephew, and it all worked out, but it was definitely a long day for me.
All right, tell Porter I said hi, and we're bringing in the one, the only, Nate Thompson, who is somewhere in Western Canada right now with the Montreal Canadiens, former Anaheim Duck and Los Angeles King, is here to talk to us about the holidays and Hanukkah and just kind of have a good time with Obi. So, welcome, Nate.
Thanks. Good. Appreciate it, boys. Thanks for having me on. Good to be here.
Yeah, Nate, thanks for joining us, fellas. So you're at Joey's, you were saying, in Calgary right now, having lunch with the boys, or what? I miss a good road lunch with the boys.
Yeah, no, it's nice. Nice little afternoon practice. Head to Joey's with the boys, you know, go to the lounge area, grab some good lunch. You know that's always a good time on the Western Swings or any road trip, you know, just hang out with the fellas. So it's good. Just get ready for Calgary tomorrow night.
Yeah, I would definitely say don't take those lunches for granted, Tomer, because when they stop, it sucks, buddy. So enjoy it for me today.
I will, buddy. I will. No, it's true. You know, I think definitely in the latter part of my career now. So it's, you know, I think I'm trying to enjoy every second and every road trip. And, you know, it's funny. Someone asked me the other night, they're like, aren't you like tired? And like, are you like, you know, you're getting to these cities late? And I was kind of like, you know, I was like, you know what? Fuck, I love this shit. You know, like, this doesn't get any better than this. So
trying
to enjoy every second.
So Nate, a year ago we wrote the story, you opened up about your decision to convert to Judaism. Obviously it's the holiday time, Hanukkah this week. Just what's it been like? It's been over a year. What's the reception been like among the hockey community? Any cool nicknames that the Canadians call you since you went over there? I know Alec Martinez used to call you Natan. But which is your Hebrew name? But what's it been like, just in general?
Oh, it's been good. I mean, I don't know. It's been all positive. I did like one Canadian Jewish podcast in Toronto, but I know it's been good. You know, I mean, the decision to convert. Obviously, you know, Obi knows my wife Sydney. She's Jewish, and you know, actually, a lot of our friends are Jewish, and they're the best people. You know, so I figured, you know, we're gonna raise our kids that way, and. You know, why not just join the tribe? So it's been fun.
Join the tribe, Obi. Do you know what that means?
I have no idea. Enlighten me, Coop. What does that mean?
We refer to ourselves as MOTs, members of the tribe. That's that. Or I guess us. We Jews. I myself am Jewish. Also, we refer to ourselves as that. One thing I was curious about was, I mean, what's it like being in a city like Montreal that has such a big Jewish community? Like, have they, the city itself, really embraced you, the Jewish community there? I mean, was there competition by synagogues to have you join to say they had a real live NHL player finally?
in their midst. What was that like?
I've received some messages from different people about, you know, being Jewish and stuff, but I think it hasn't been, you know, I guess in my schedule, I haven't had a chance to, you know, to go to synagogue. With my, you know, my wife's been a few times, but, you know, I think more than anything, it's just a really passionate hockey city, and they really care about, they really care about the Habs. So, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, I think they're just kind of welcoming no matter what. So.
Yeah, Tomer, that leads me into my question. You know, obviously you played for the Kings and Ducks, and so for our listeners out in Southern California that maybe haven't been to the Bell Center and experienced the game as a Montreal Canadian, just explain to us that the passion in the city, you know, dealing with the media and being a veteran guy, how do you handle it with the young guys and all the pressure that goes on in playing in Montreal?
Yeah, it's a one of a kind place, that's for sure. I mean, it's you're in a bubble, you know, you're in a hockey mecca. I mean, it's all Habs everywhere. I mean, you turn on the radio, everyone's talking about the Habs. You know, it's, you know, I always try to compare it to, like, you know, I mean, and it's no offense to Southern California, you know, hockey in Southern California, but, you know, you're playing on a Tuesday night and it's LA versus Arizona. You know, it's not exactly, you know, exciting game for everybody to watch, you know, but there you're in Montreal, you know, it's Tuesday night and you get ready to go out and they start playing that music before and the crowd's going crazy and, you know, it doesn't matter what night it is, it's jam packed and it's an electric atmosphere. And then you add the media on top of that. And I think for young guys, I think I try to tell guys, I mean, just enjoy it really. I mean, you're playing in a place like Montreal, you're only going to get one opportunity to do this, you know, no matter if things go bad or good. You know, it's one of those things where you're kind of, you're playing for the Habs, you're the man, so you might as well just enjoy it while you're there, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my favorite part of coming in and playing on the road at the Bell Center was, you know, just how the crowd's there. When you go for a warm-up, it's three quarters full, and there's already a buzz in the building, and it's just an unbelievable building to play in, and I couldn't imagine actually playing for the Habs, so... And my next question, Tomer, I grew up a Leafs fan, and I got to be honest, I was never a huge Montreal Canadian fan growing up. But being a Canadian, do you hate the Maple Leafs more or the Boston Bruins?
Ooh, I don't know. That's tough.
That's a tough one, yeah.
That is a tough one. I think it's pretty even. I think probably, I mean, I've only been here for, you know, not even a year now, but it seems like the rivals a little bit more heated with the Bruins, just because there's more history there, I think, than the Leafs maybe. So that's what it seems like so far for me, you know, since I've been here. So, but it's definitely, I mean, both teams, though, you know, whatever we're playing against either team, it's pretty electric, and fans are into it, and teams are going at it.
Nate, I was wondering, I mean, it seems like everywhere you go, you're just so super well-liked. Both teams out here in Southern California really liked you. The fan bases both really gravitated to you. And in Montreal, they have very, very quickly. How do you try to just get into a new area and really get people to notice? I don't want to say maybe not notice you, but to understand the type of player and person you are. I mean, it just seems like people get you right away and they like you right away so much.
I don't really know what to say to that.
thank you? I don't know.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I guess just being a glue guy, right, Obes?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I think it's just, you know, my mentality. I've always been a low-maintenance guy. Just come to the ring, do my job. You know, just try to be consistent every night. You know, be a good teammate, be a good pro. I think, you know, that's the biggest thing for me. And I think the biggest thing I want to be looked at when I'm done playing is just be known as a good teammate and a pro, you know. And I think you do those things and, you know, come do your job every night. I think no matter who you are, you're going to be appreciated.
Do you miss Los Angeles or the SoCal area at all? Or is it being like in a city like Montreal that has such an energy and a vibe around hockey? Does that make you not miss the weather quite so much?
Yeah, I mean, of course, I always miss LA, Southern California. I mean, that's my home in the off season. You know, but this is an opportunity that I think that I'm trying to take advantage of. You know, I'm having time to have the opportunities in my in my career, I'm going to play for, you know, a Canadian market like Montreal Canadiens. So I think it's one of those, you know, these chances that I'm trying to, you know, make the most of.
Yeah, so Tomer, where do you spend your summers now? I know Sid's from L.A., obviously. Are you guys in Beverly Hills or Manhattan Beach? Where do you guys call home in the offseason now?
We're in Hermosa Beach now.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So close to Stoli and the boys in that area?
Right. I'm like right down the street from Stoli and all the rest of the fellas, yeah. Teddy's like a block for me too. Yeah, we're all right there.
I've heard Stoli's pad is legendary. Everyone who's been there has a story. Do you have a story about Stoli's pad?
I don't have any stories. Probably not the ones comparable to some other guys.
Anything about we've heard about the hot tub already. So, and he even talked about the hot tub on the podcast.
The hot tub. What story is he referring to in the
podcast? Oh, just that it's sick.
No,
that's all.
We used to. Tomer, we used to go up there for the six-man volleyball tournament. I would stay at Stoli's house.
Oh, yeah.
So we would have aftershakers back there and then hanging out in the pool and hot tub. And when we had Stoli on, we were just talking about those six-man tournaments.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, and, it's a good spot. I mean, he's got a pretty good setup, and Stoli is he's a beauty.
So, obviously, it is holiday season, and you do live in Montreal, which has some of the best Jewish delis in the world, but so does LA. So which place has better Jewish delis?
I think my wife's from LA and probably knows the landscape a little bit better. I mean, it's probably LA, but we've found a couple of good delis in Montreal. She's found one place called Chesky's, I think it's called. It's unbelievable desserts there and pastries and stuff. It's pretty good. So, but I probably have to give it to LA just because it's a little more familiar.
I remember talking to your mother-in-law for the story we did last year, or I did last year, and is she coming out for the holidays at all? I mean, any good brisket or anything like that?
My wife's actually in LA right now while we're on this road trip, and then she's going with them to Aspen for a few days, and then she's going to meet me back in Montreal. But, you know, we don't have that long for Christmas break, so it's just going to be Sydney and I for Christmas.
Nothing wrong with Aspen over the holidays, I can tell you that, Tomer. I've had a lot of fun in Aspen, but...
not bad either.
Not bad. So Tomer, for our West Coast fans, and, you know, I'm looking at the Atlantic Division here, and... You know, tell us about the Montreal Canadiens. As a former player, when you get around Christmas time, you know, you kind of understand what your team needs or is. You know, what do you think as a veteran guy about your guys' club right now?
I think we had a really good start. We had that skid. We lost 8 games in a row. And I think we really learned a lot about ourselves and our team. I think we're a young team that can skate really well. I think that's one of our biggest assets. I think is we're extremely fast. We transition really well. We're starting to play a all-around really good defensive game, which I think for the first 20 to 25 games, we were still trying to figure that out. And I think we're starting to build up that consistency. And then, you know, when you have a goalie like Carey Price, backstopping you there, it's... You have a chance to win every night, and I think we're kind of a team that we're a 5-man attack. We have some really good players, but we don't really have a Connor McDavid on our team to game break. But I think we're a team that can roll 4 lines at you, and we just come in with speed, and that's where we play.
Nate, give me your best Paul Bunyan-esque Shea Weber story.
Paul Bunyan-esque Shea Weber story. I think he had a scrum. It was Ottawa. We played Ottawa last week, and Brady Tkachuk tried to grab him, and Webby had him with one hand and just chucked it down. I mean, it's pretty impressive. I know you played with him too. He's superhuman. When he gets mad and the wires cross, look out.
What did you think of that goal against the Kings, like the double shot, essentially, like in midair?
It's pretty impressive. I mean, he's just one of those guys. I mean, he's it's not flashy, but he gets it done. I mean, he obviously has an elite shot. He's so good defensively. He knows where to find the right spots in the ice. He knows when to join the rush, when not to. And he's been unbelievable for us this year. I mean, he's been leading the charge. Not only that, but he's a great guy, a great leader. He's just great, great on the ice and off the ice. You can't say enough about him.
Yeah, I agree 100% with you, Tomer. I play with Webbs in Nashville, and I know you're a big PK guy. I remember Nashville Webbs would be just ripping clappers all over the place in practice. Is he still doing that to you, or has he calmed down a bit in his older age?
No, he's toned it down in his older age. We always joke around with each other that we're raisins now, but we gotta save some for the game. So, he's ultimate pro, and he comes to work every day. And from the same time, he's a great guy, and keeps it light, and he knows when to speak up, and knows when to let the boys have fun. So. He's a really good captain.
Well, Nate, we know you're hungry, and we appreciate you taking the time. I do have one more question for you. This is a massive, massive debate that goes on online. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I mean, when I think of Christmas movies, I think of like Elf, Home Alone, Christmas Vacation, those classics. So I don't put it in that category, no.
And did you realize when you were converting to our religion that we don't really have any holiday movies? I actually searched this. We don't have any. There's only the Hebrew Hammer.
I didn't even think about.
What about eight crazy nights with Adam Sandler? Does that not count? Or?
Hey, that counts.
That's gotta count.
That counts.
We have a great song. I like that movie. The Hanukkah song is great. I love it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, we have. It's kind of Christmaka, right? It's kind of both, right? Christmaka.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, there's some of that a little bit, but but anyway, we'll let you get back to your food and your teammates. And again, thank you so much. Happy holidays to you. Thanks for joining this special holiday edition of Point Breakaway. And we can't wait to see you when the Habs play the Kings and the Ducks out here.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me on. Let's catch up when I get back in town, buddy.
For sure, Tomer. Stay healthy, buddy. Keep going and enjoy every second of it, buddy. Proud of you.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy. See ya.
See you, boys.
Well, Obes, that was fun. Obviously, Nate taking some time out from lunch to talk to us. Appreciate it big time. So how do you know him? I mean, you guys, I always find it interesting whenever we have guests on and guys just hit it off with you right away. How do you know him super well?
Yeah, Tomer and I've, first of all, you hear him at lunch with the boys there. And, I did Spit and Chicklets yesterday with Biz and Wit and Loophole and our boy, Andy Mack, and it felt like we were sitting in the locker room again. And just to hear Tomer there at lunch with all the boys in Calgary after a big win in Vancouver, got to be honest, I'm a little bit jealous of him. Those were the good old days for me. But I met Nate in Newport Beach when he's playing for the Ducks, and we just kind of hit it off right away. He started hanging out with me, Loops, and Uppy. And, Tomer's just a great guy. He wears his heart on his sleeve. And when you asked him, that question, Coop, of why guys like him, and I only had training camp with him and played a little bit with him in San Diego, but playing against him, he plays the same way every night. He competes. He's great in the faceoff circle. He kills penalties. And then when playoff times come around, he chips in offensively. So he's a guy that truly loves the game. He's been through some stuff off the ice, so I'm proud of him. And obviously got a beautiful wife in Sydney, and things are good for Tomer, so that's always nice to see.
Yeah, another story we wrote about him was Lisa Dillman talked to him last year about his sobriety, and really he's just such an interesting guy. And I remember just talking to him for the story about why he wanted to convert to Judaism. And I mean, it was it wasn't like he was just doing it for, to marry Sydney. He was doing it because it was something he really wanted to do and really cared about it. And I mean, it's funny, like, I'm Jewish and we always joke around that people who convert to Judaism know more about the religion than we do, just because they have to go through all the classes and stuff. But he really wanted to do it. And that was one of my favorite stories I think I've ever worked on, not because it was a different type of story. And culturally, I guess Jewish people like myself gravitate in that direction, but because it was just a feel-good piece. And it's nice to talk about feel-good pieces this time of year.
Yeah, and I think, you know what, that's just kind of Tomer in a nutshell. And when it comes to him playing hockey, opposed to his personal life, if anything, he's just kind of a guy that, you know, if he's going to do something, he's all in. Yeah, when it comes to, you know, hockey, and then obviously marrying Sydney, and he, you know, her being Jewish, I think it truly meant something for him to do it, and he did it. And, you know, not every guy would do that, so you got to give him a lot of credit, and I guess that love's a magical thing, right, Coop?
Huey Lewis in the news, it's, what is it, the power of love is a, oh, shit.
The power of love,
up,
baby.
Yeah, fucked up the lyrics there. All right, well, I'll finish this off with, I got to ask you, who is your favorite Jew in hockey? Me? Gary Bettman? Nate it's Thompson?
Definitely not Gary Bettman.
Nate Thompson or Eric Nystrom?
Oh, Coop, tough call. I'm going to give it to you, Coop, because you're my co-host, you're my partner here on Point Breakaway. I do love Nate Thompson. I got a lot of respect for Eric Nystrom, but I'll give it to Josh Cooper because we're teammates now and been working together. So 100% the Coop dog.
What about, wait, I forgot Mitch Korn though.
Mitch, I really enjoyed Mitch Korn with my time in Nashville. He was obviously having Pekka in net. I mean, that obviously helped Mitch out, but he was always in a good mood. He was super professional with me and the players and obviously did a good, great job with Pekka.
So this is our holiday edition. Obi, what are your holiday traditions? What are you going to do this week with Porter and your family?
Yeah, well, the first thing my mom made me do when I walked through the door after a long travel day was me and my brother-in-law had to move a big dresser drawer out of my sister's room because Porter's crib had to go in there. So right when I got home, I was right back into the family lifestyle. But, I mean, we come from a small town and we have a pretty small family, so we keep it pretty casual. We have Christmas Eve here and Christmas morning here, and then I think we're going to head up to my sister's house for Christmas dinner. And for me, it's just nice to be home. I don't see my family nearly enough, so Christmas is always a good time for me.
What do you want for Christmas this year?
You know what? I'm in a pretty good spot in my life. I've been blessed throughout for everything with my hockey career. I have so many good friends and just, you know, spending some time in New York. My buddies, even I got great friends in New York and Newport, LA and Port Hope, Toronto. So, obviously just, you know, continued health and, I had a pretty good life, so I don't really need anything but some turkey dinner and some stuffing and maybe a couple cold, crown and Cokes.
Sounds delicious. Well, I don't really know what we're going to be doing for the holidays because it's kind of funny. Hanukkah is important in the Jewish calendar, but also it's sort of like the holiday that falls around Christmas, so hence why I feel like we give gifts. I could be wrong about that, but I mean, whatever. You know, it's fun. What were you going to say, Obi?
So, like, how does it, like, each night you guys give each other a different gift or a different celebration, or how does exactly does it
work? Well, I was a child, yes. That's how it went. As I've gotten older, though, it seems like it's kind of become a one gift sort of thing, though. I'm pretty sure with Ethan, when he sees all his friends getting one gift a day, it's going to change. But I remember there were kids I grew up with who, it's like the night one, they'd get one gift, night two, two gifts, night three gifts, and I'd be like, shit, like, what the hell? I mean, and I remember the one gift my parents always got me was Sports Illustrated Sports Almanac. Every fucking year was Sports Illustrated Sports Almanac. It was cool like the first two times, and then it just became a running gag where it was like I saw like kind of the big wrapping paper and I was like, I know this is going to be the freaking Sports Almanac. And I open it up and it's the Sports Illustrated Sports Almanac. So I, you know, as far as it goes, every family is different. I'm sure Sarah, my wife, and myself will have new traditions this year, but that's kind of how we did it growing up.
Yeah, for me, it was Don Cherry's Rock'em Sock'em Hockey. Gail Craig and her son Jason grew up beside me, and Gail would always give me Rock'em Sock'em the night before on Christmas Eve, so I would be able to watch it before I went to bed. So I was always fired up for some Don Cherry Rock'em Sock'em Hockey.
And then you wake up the next morning and you just run to the tree. See, that's the thing. I never got that experience of like waking up and like sprinting over the tree and just being like looking at the gifts. Like Hanukkah's cool in a different way, but I never had that other experience.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I mean, you know, now that I'm older and I'm actually a grown man now, I look back at how much my parents spoiled me over Christmas. And I probably got more than I deserved, but it was usually, you know, new hockey skates, new hockey gloves. And but I was definitely blessed as a kid to, you know, have parents that went above and beyond to get me gifts, and Santa Claus took care of me and all that stuff. So it's I was definitely a lucky, lucky kid.
Got to ask you, Obi. Die Hard, is it a Christmas movie?
Man, you know what's funny you say that, Coop? We were having this debate the other night in New York City, me, Matt Gell, and Lupo, and a few of the other boys, and fuck, we came to the conclusion that it is a Christmas movie. And in fact, a couple of the boys, now mind you, we were a few cocktails deep at this point, they said it could be maybe one of the best Christmas movies ever. And I went, my rebuttal was, boys, Christmas Vacation is the best Christmas movie going. But we came to the conclusion that Die Hard is 100% a Christmas movie. I don't think it's the best Christmas movie, but it's pretty solid.
If you want to go pure Christmas movie, I'll go with Bad Santa. If you want to go with accidental Christmas movie, I'll definitely go with Die Hard, just because it clearly, I don't think it was meant to be one, but accidentally it became a wonderful Christmas movie. And quick story on that. A couple of years ago, my wife and I went out to a steak restaurant in Westwood on Christmas Eve, and then we decided to go over to the Die Hard building shortly afterwards, and a security guard sees us. We pull up, and he goes, "You're not allowed to be here," and we're like, "Oh, shit, really?" He goes, "But I know you're one of those people. What you do is you go to that area over there that's not owned by Fox, because it's Fox Plaza or something like that." And so we went over there, and we, like, took a stupid-looking selfie in front of the Die Hard building, and you can't see that it's the Die Hard building because it's Christmas Eve. But huge fan of that movie. And back in 2002, when I was the assistant sports editor of the Vanderbilt Student Newspaper, they asked us for our top five Christmas movies, and I listed that as my number one. And everybody looked at me on campus afterwards being like, you're right, it is kind of like a Christmas movie. And that was before it became like a big meme. So I just want to say I was on that train first. Thank you very much.
Not a boy. You called it. You got the Christmas Die Hard movie started, is what you're telling me. Bruce Willis had nothing to do with it. It was all you, Coop.
No. Come out to the coast. I have a few laughs.
I mean, I think
Hans, Bubby.
Good call on Bad Santa. That's maybe not one you want to watch with the kids, but that's a pretty funny Christmas movie. I might have to watch that this week for sure.
It's so good. It's Billy Bob Thornton, so funny in it. Everything about that movie is hysterical. It's
great.
I mean, Elf is pretty good too. I mean, that's a bit of a different one, but yeah, I love me some Die Hard around this time of year. So, and with that, that is our holiday special. Thank you so much to Nate Thompson for coming on the show and just talking about playing for the Canadians, his conversion to Judaism, and what the holidays mean to him. And Obi, I hope you have a wonderful week in Port Hope. It's a lot of fun.
I appreciate it, Coop. Obviously, happy holidays to you and your family, and we'll bring on the new year, and we'll keep this Point Breakaway thing going. Hopefully, maybe we should ask for, as teammates here, we should ask for maybe a couple more wins from the Kings and Ducks so we can talk about some winning hockey instead of all this losing. But we got to give them credit. They're playing hard. But I'm going to wish for some more wins for the Kings and Ducks.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Hopefully some more wins in 2020. So we'll be back after the new year. Thank you so much again for listening to us this year. And we'll talk to you in 2020. Take care.
Thanks, Coop.